M&J Audio Theater presents Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Moor.
Come in, my friend. That's so nice of you to drop in. Yes. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. I am Chet Cheddar, the morgue attendant and resident storyteller. Oh, I'm so glad you came by. Today, we return to the small, peaceful town of Biloxi. It seems that there was this old abandoned house on the corner of Main Street. Well, there was some talk of this house being haunted, mostly children with overactive imaginations. However, on this particular Wednesday afternoon, a very distinct moaning sound emitted from the derelict structure. The citizens who lived nearby in this old house were quite unnerved by the sound. The Biloxi Police Department was flooded with calls that day.
Hello. Biloxi Police Department. Sheriff McElroy speaking. Oh, howdy, Miss Plunkett. What can I do you first? Oh? Well, you say you hear strange noises coming from the old Fortin house? We got us another one, Chester. Yes, ma'am? Well, now, Miss Plunkett, it's probably just a couple of alley cats in heat. Yes, ma'am. I know it sounds horrible, but they get that way when they, you know. Yes, ma'am. Well, now, if they don't stop in the next 30 minutes, I'll send a deputy down to go check it out, all right? Okay. You do the same. Thank you kindly, ma'am.
You want me to go down to that house and check it out, Sheriff?
Shoot, no. Ain't worth the gas. Go down there. Take the phone off the hook and hand me a donut.
All right, sir.
Well, the noise from the house persisted, and it sounded nothing like a cat. It was quite unmistakably human. It was about midnight when Mr. Elmer Korn, a well-known resident of Biloxi, was awakened from sleep.
Huh? Oh, where's the fire? There you go. Damn, it's 5 minutes to midnight. Who in the world could that be at this ungodly hour? Huh? All right. Don't worry out the door, Bill. I'm coming.
Oh, Elmer, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, well, howdy, Miss Maddox. Did you come to bury some toilet paper?
No, I didn't, Elmer, but I can really use your help, though.
Well, anything at all, Miss Maddox. But come on in.
Oh, thank you, Elmer.
Shoot, it must be important for you to be up this late.
Elmer, I'm just at the end of my rope, yeah. And all my neighbors are, too. You know that old house on the corner of Main Street?
The old Thornton house?
Yeah, that's it, Elmer. Well, there's awful, horrible, terrible noises coming up from that house.
Oh. Well, it could be a couple of old cats.
It ain't no cat, Elmer. It's human, sure as I am alive. Mm. Human. Just like a man in pain.
Well, did you try calling the police?
Oh, those police are just busy stuffing donuts into their big fat faces.
I know what you mean.
Elmer, would you go down to that house and check it out for me, would you?
Well, Miss Maddox, I got a manure haul at 6 in the morning.
But Elmer,
I need my sleep. Could I do it tomorrow afternoon?
Elmer, this just can't wait. I live just 2 blocks down from that house, and you just got to see what it is now.
All right, Miss Maddox, okay. I'll go call up Cecil Ferris. He's got one of them high-beam flashlights, and we'll go down there and check it out for you.
Oh, thank you very much, Elmer. I just couldn't get a wink of sleep with all of that noise going on.
Yeah. Boy, this old house is a musty place.
I ought to have my head examined for letting you drag me in here, Elmer.
Well, I ought to have my head examined for asking you. I should have known you'd start bellyaching about it.
Wake me up at 12:15 to come prowl around in some haunted house?
Well, you got the big high-beam flashlight.
That ain't the reason, Elmer. You just didn't want to come in here by yourself.
Oh, hush up, Cecil, and hold that light steady.
All right.
Edgum. Ain't nothing in this old house but a bunch of cobwebs. All that talk of this place being haunted that's got everyone so worked up.
It is haunted. Charlie Thornton killed his wife in this house. Then he turned the gun on himself.
Well, Charlie Thornton wasn't all there, Cecil. Heck, the man used to talk to his shadow. You know that.
Yeah.
Besides, it's all in the past now.
Well, Bernie Edwards said he saw the ghost of Mr. Thornton in the window up there.
Yeah, well, Bernie sees a lot of things after a six-pack or two. Well, I don't see nothing in here. Well, let's go check the kitchen, and then we'll...
Good Lord.
What the heck was that?
It's the ghost of Charlie Thornton, Elmer.
It ain't no such thing, Cecil. It sounded like it come from the fireplace.
Yeah.
Here, shine your light over there.
All right.
Take the light away. Leave me in my misery. Leave me in the darkness.
Dadgummit, Elmer. Looks like somebody covered in an old sheet.
Yeah. What's the matter, mister? You in some sort of pain?
The pain. The eternal pain. I can endure it no more. The burden is too great. Relieve me of my task, O spirits of another world. Set me free from my never-ending destiny.
Let's leave this feller alone, Elmer.
You just stand there with that light and hush up, Cecil. Come here just a second, mister. We ain't gonna hurt you, I promise. You from out of state? Maybe some relation to the late Mr. Thornton?
No. I am dead.
Daggone.
Could you run that past me just one more time, mister?
I am the Reaper.
You mean the Grim Reaper?
I never liked the Grim part. But it is grim, isn't it?
Dadgummit, there's nothing underneath that sheet. There's no face, there's no hands, nothing.
Oh, settle down, Cecil. He's probably just a dark complexion.
No, your friend speaks the truth. I have no form or shape. I am like a foul wind. The cloth gives the illusion of shape. I thought if I took the shape and voice of a living man and took shelter in this dwelling, I could escape the spirits of another world, but they'll find me. I am cursed for eternity.
Huh, you mean to say when a feller dies, they meet up with you?
Yes, I show them the way to the beyond.
Dang it, this is too much for me.
Hush, Cecil. Well, sir, you show people to the hereafter. That don't sound like such a bad job.
Not bad. Perhaps not for those who have lived a long and fruitful life. But what of the young? Those whose lives have been extinguished by hunger or disease. I must take them away before they have had a chance to live.
Oh.
The burden is too great.
Well, you poor feller. And you say these spirits of the netherworld gave you this job?
I was created in the netherworld by the spirits of that region. I wish to be free of this horrible task.
Well, sir, I think everybody needs a vacation from their job now and then.
What in the world are you saying, Elmer?
Well, I mean, heck, this man plum tuckered out. And shoot, I mean, it must be a high-pressure job, you know? I mean, can you imagine how many people die every day?
It is an extraordinary amount, I assure you.
Well, I'd imagine so. So why don't you just go incognito for a couple of days? Could be all you need is a little break to collect your thoughts.
Well, I don't know.
Well, sir, I know. You just won't be deaf for a couple of days, all right? You say these spirits of the netherworld are looking for you? Well, it's liable to be a couple of days before they find you. And until that time, you'll just be a regular feller. Mr. D, how's that?
Mr. D?
Yes, sir, Mr. D. I tell you what you do. Now, me and Cecil are about to go over to Miss Maddox's house. She's this sweet old widow woman that lives down the street from us. And we'll go up to her and we'll say, "Hello, Miss Maddox, this here's Mr. D. He's a stranger in town, gonna stay a couple of days." And you know what she'll do? She'll whip you up the finest, biggest meal you ever ate in your life. Sweet potato pie, dumplings, chicken. Mm. You'll stuff yourself till you can't breathe.
But I do not eat.
Well, you talk, don't you? Miss Maddox will talk your ear off. Some good conversation, that's what you need. So why don't you do that? Next morning, tomorrow, 7:30, me, you, and Cecil go over to Miss Maddox's house, and we'll just have us a good old time. What do you think?
Well, I suppose I could do that.
Well, I just flat dab insist, sir. Until then, you come over to my house, and you're going to stay the night there, and I don't want no argument.
Yes, if you insist, Mr. Corn. Thank you.
Huh. I don't recall telling you my last name.
You want another piece of pie, Albert?
Ho, ho, Nellie, no, Miss Maddox. If I was to try to stuff in another piece, I'd bust a seam. It was a dandy meal, though.
I have another piece, Miss Maddox.
All righty there, Cecil.
Still trying to fill up that hollow leg, huh, Cecil?
I got a weakness for sweet potato pie.
Well, what you got a weakness for is desserts. If the whole meal consisted of sweet potato pie, it'd be fine with you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Elmer, yeah.
Oh, boy, I'm packed. I might have to pop me a button.
Me, too.
Say, you haven't eaten a thing on your plate, Mr. D. Do you not like dumplings?
Yes. It looks delicious, madam. I am not hungry, thank you.
Say, can I have that hunk of pie, then?
Cecil, watch your manner.
Well, it'd be a shame to let it go to waste.
What kind of work do you do, Mr. D?
Well, madam, that is hard to say.
Mr. D is a travel agent of sorts, Miss Maddie.
Oh, that must be exciting.
No, madam, it is not. It is excruciating. The pain... The misery is overwhelming.
What could be so bad about it?
It's just the traveling getting to him a little, Miss Maddox. That's why he's down here. He's on vacation. Gonna try to rest up a bit.
Well, Biloxi is definitely the place to do it. You just have yourself a good old time, Mr. D.
Thank you, madam. I will try to do that. In fact, I may quit my job soon.
You're going to do what?
What? Man, gum, Jiminy Christmas. Oh. You hear that? Sound like a car wreck outside.
Merciful heavens.
Sounded pretty bad to me.
Hey, now look outside. It is a wreck. Lester Plunkett run his car into a persimmon tree. Man, gum, and he's walking up this way, too. Let's go see about him, Cecil.
All right, Elmer.
Lord have mercy, Lester. You okay? Heck, your car's on fire.
Yeah. I swerved to miss an armadiller, and my car hit that danged old tree over there.
Heck, your head's busted wide open, Lester. You okay?
Yeah, I feel a little dizzy, but I don't feel no pain.
I can see your brain, Lester.
Cecil, what a thing to say.
Well, look at his head. You can see his brain clear as day.
Oh, no. My car is wrecked. My wife is going to skin me alive.
Well, shoot far, Lester. You can worry about that later. We got to get you to Doc Stone right away.
Oh, come on, Elmer. Is it really necessary?
You're a bleeding like a stuck pig. Of course it's necessary. Don't argue with me, Lester. Get in my truck.
Okay.
Mr. Corn.
Yes, sir?
Do you mind if I come along?
Not at all, Mr. D. Come along. Come on, Lester. Get in my truck right now.
All right.
Open up real wide and say I for me.
Old Dr. Stone is getting up in years, ain't he, Elmer?
Yeah, he's up in his 80s. Hush up. I want to see what he says about Lester.
All righty. That's good, Les.
Yeah.
Tell me, how bad does your head hurt?
Well, it don't hurt at all. I feel a little bit sleepy, though.
Ain't that his brain exposed, Dr. Stone?
Well, I'm going to manage his head, Cecil. Sit tight, Lester.
Okay.
I'll fix you up in a minute. I want to talk to Elmer for a second.
Is old Lester going to be okay, Dr. Stone?
Well, that's kind of hard to say, Elmer.
Huh.
He ain't complaining of no pain. But according to my instruments, he ought not feel nothing at all.
Huh?
What I'm saying is, he ain't got no temp,
uh-huh,
or blood pressure,
yeah,
or he ain't got no pulse.
Yeah.
His skin's at room temperature, and his eyes are dilated.
Huh. Sounds like a dead man.
Yeah, it does to me, too.
Mm.
I don't want to upset Lester. That's why I wanted to talk to you first about it.
Yeah.
Never seen nothing like it.
Huh.
Not short of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I guess I'll go patch him up. About all I can do at this point.
Well, Doc. I'll see you later. Huh. Did you hear that, Mr. D?
Yes, Mr. Corn, I did. Mr. Pluckett has damaged his body beyond repair.
Yeah.
His nervous system no longer functions. Yet his life essence remains in his body.
Life essence? You're talking about his soul?
In a manner of speaking, yes. Huh. His life essence cannot leave his body without my help.
Oh, I see.
I am death. However, Mr. Pluckett will have to wait for his journey to the beyond. I am on vacation.
Wait a minute. You mean you're just going to leave the poor fellow like he is now with his brain hanging out and all that?
Yes. He will feel no pain, I assure you.
Well, look at him, though. I mean, it ain't natural. What I'm saying is, if he's supposed to be dead...
I do not wish to discuss it, Mr. Corn. I am enjoying my break.
Hang on, Mr. Death. We're about to go over Miller's Bridge, and it's pretty rickety.
Hey, she passes will smoke it, Manny.
Well, I guess this is your first time riding in a pickup truck, huh, Mr. D?
Yes, Mr. Coyne, it is.
I got to haul this manure over to Skeeter Phillips' house. Yeah. After that, this truck will smell a heck of a lot better.
I have no sense of smell.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're a lucky fella. I tell you, the smell of fresh cow flop can make even the stoutest man weak in the knees.
Breaking one
knob
for the cow, Chip. You got your ears on out there?
Huh. Somebody call me on the CB.
Cow Chip?
Yeah, I know. That's my handle. Well, kind of appropriate considering my job, don't you think? Yeah, you got the cow chip here. I copy you. Over.
Yeah, this is Skeeter, Elmer. You bringing that cow flop over to my house?
On my way, Skeeter. Why?
Gotta take my mother over to the doctor.
Oh. Heck, I hope Miss Phillips ain't ailing.
Well, she's up and going about now, but yesterday she complained of chest pains. Checked her pulse, couldn't get one. Took her temperature, it's about 75 degrees.
Huh? 75 degrees, you say? Well, I guess you better take her to the doctor just to play it safe, Peter. I'll dump the manure in your backyard like you said.
Thank you, Elmer. I'll pay you later.
Huh. Well, Mr. D, I guess Mrs. Phillips is in the same position that Lester Pluckett is in, ain't she?
Yes, Mr. Corn. She had a fatal heart attack.
Oh, that was a sweet lady, too. She's still walking around, though. I'll tell you something true, Mr. D. This whole thing's starting to sort of worry me a little bit.
What concerns you, Mr. Corn?
Well, it's this whole idea of dead people walking around like zombies. This sort of thing going on all over the world?
Yes, of course. But you needn't be concerned, Mr. Corn. They will not be in pain, and their bodies will not rot as long as their spirits remain in their bodies.
Well, still, this sort of thing is liable to cause a worldwide panic. Well, what I'm getting at, Mr. D, is that, well, maybe you should get back to work pretty soon.
No, Mr. Cole, huh? I will never return to that position.
Whoa, what? Good gravy. You can't be serious. You're quitting altogether?
That is correct.
Well, you can't do it. A world without death? My mind boggles at the thought. I mean, the world would get overpopulated.
My decision is final, Mr. Corden.
But what about the spirits of the netherworld? You said they was coming after you. You said they'd find you sooner or later.
Then I will refuse to go with them, Mr. Corn.
Well,
they cannot make me go.
But...
I am sick of death.
Well, now you're acting just like a child. You can't just quit just like that. You just can't do it. You are deaf.
I was deaf, Mr. Cohen, was. I am now Mr. Deatherow.
Huh? Mr. Deatherow?
Yes.
You can't live in the real world like a person, Mr. D. You're transparent.
There will be obstacles, of course. But I am prepared for them.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
That's Cecil Ferris on the radio. He don't know to call me Cowchip on the CB. Hello, Cecil. I read you. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm so glad I got you. There's a hostage situation at the convenience store on Titus Street. Some guy's trying to hold up the place. And dadgummit, Albert, he's got Miss Maddox at gunpoint.
Miss Maddox at gunpoint? He's got Miss Maddox hostage? Where's that, Cecil?
It's at the Quick Pick, Elmer. And dadgummit, is there a swarm of police cars around there?
Dadgum. Did you hear that, Mr. D? Someone's got a gun to Miss Maddox's head at the Quick Pick. Heck, we gotta get out there. I rushed over as soon as I heard the news, Sheriff McElroy.
Hell, McCorn, what the hell are you doing here? There's a police blockade set up.
I know, sir. I know. I broke it. I'm sorry, Sheriff, but Miss Maddox is like a mother to me, and I just had to see about it.
Well, that guy's in there with her right now. Got a gun to her here. Seems pretty high strung. We can't risk going in there.
Hey! Hey, you cops make one wrong move, and I'll blow this old broad's head off. You understand? I want to get out of here. I want to get in my car and drive to the county line, and I'm taking Grandma here with me, you understand?
Albert, save me, Albert!
Now, the police will be waiting for you at the county line, mister. You stand away from that lady and drop that gun. It ain't gonna do you no good. I've already reported this to the neighboring county.
Hey, you hasty cops think I'm stupid, huh? Now, back off. I'm not making no deal. I'm in charge here. I'll open up a window to this chick's brain. I think this fella's from out of state.
Yeah, I know. He was holding up the Quick Pick just as me and Deputy Huckabee was driving up for donuts.
Hey!
He sees us and panics, grabs Miss Maddox.
Hey, what you talking about, cop, huh?
We're just talking about maybe letting you go, mister. Rowan, go and get my rifle.
All right, Sheriff. You gonna try to take him out?
Well, I got a pretty clear shot if I aim for his head.
Well, should you try that, Sheriff? Well, if he sees that rifle, he's liable to try to shoot Miss Maddox.
Oh, no. I've dealt with these nervous type. All talk and no action.
Here's your rifle, Sheriff.
All right. Here, hold my coffee and donut.
All right, sir.
Hey, what's with the shotgun? You're making a big mistake, cop.
All right, I got a bead on him. Back up, Elmer. I'm going to shoot him through the window.
My head!
Yeehaw! Bingo, Sheriff. Caught him right between the eyes.
Caught him dead center. Hey, you fat pig, you shot me in the head.
It can't be possible. That man's still standing.
Oh, Lord of mercy, I forgot to tell you, Sheriff. You can't kill him. You can't.
Oh? What the heck you talking about, Elmer? This is a dad blame 12 gauge.
I don't care if it's an elephant gun. You can't kill him.
Hey, is this the best you cops can do, huh? You shoot me in the head, I don't feel nothing. I can run around, I can skip around. Hey, you cops shooting with pop pistols?
I'm going to shoot him again.
It wouldn't do you no good, Sheriff. I ain't got time to explain it to you. I'm going in there.
Huh? Now you get back here, Elmer Corn.
You want your donut back, Sheriff?
That man has flipped his lid. Yeah, donut would taste good by about now.
Now, mister, you put down that gun. That lady you got with you there is an old friend of mine.
Oh, well, that's real touching. That's real touching. I think I'm going to cry.
I said put down that gun.
Hey, let go of my arm. Let go of my arm.
Holy guacamole.
Elmer, you've been shot.
He just got me in the shoulder, Miss Maddox.
Oh, yeah? Well, I think I can do better than that.
No, mister, don't do it. You can't kill me. The sheriff shot you in the head with a 12 gauge and you didn't die. Yeah. No one can die.
What the hell is this moron talking about?
Mr. Death, you gotta stop this. You see what kind of world it's gonna be if you don't go back to work?
Yes, Mr. Corn, I see.
Somebody clue me in here. Who's this guy in the sheet?
You know who I am, Mr. Raguso.
Hey, Hey, how did you know my name?
You are Bernard Shane Ragusso.
Yeah.
And it is time to go.
Yeah.
Come with me now. Do not fight it.
No, stay away from me, you freaking sheep.
Rest. Rest, Mr. Ragusso. It is time to rest.
Wait, what's happening?
Albert, he just dropped like he was dead.
He is dead, Miss Maddox. He is.
Ed Gummer, Elmer, I thought you was a goner. I guess that gunshot in the head finally caught up with him.
No, sir, Sheriff. Death caught up with him.
Who's that better than the sheep? The sheep's still there, but the man's gone.
Well, that was Mr. D. He had important matters to tend to.
We gotta get you to the hospital, Elmer, right now.
All right, Miss Maddox, we can do that. I guess things are gonna get back to normal now. Now that Mr. Death is back to work.
That was a close call, was it not? I mean, can you imagine a world without death? I'm a morgue attendant. I enjoy telling stories, but death pays the bills. Oh, yes, yes. Well, I'm afraid I must leave you now. I have to set out poison for the rats in Corridor 3. I so enjoy that. But please, do return for another story, will you? Until then, pleasant dreams.
You have just heard Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue. Today's installment, Elmer Meets Death. For correspondence, send to M&J Audio Theater, P.O. Box 252, Mejia, M-E-X-I-A, Texas, 76667. The names and characters portrayed in this production are fictitious. Any similarities to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Production by M&J Audio Theater.
Support for this program is provided by this and other National Public Radio member stations and the NPR Cultural Program Fund. Contributors include the National Endowment for the Arts and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. This is NPR, National Public Radio.